My cousin Marna lives in Vanuatu, a very small island country in the South Pacific, just off the coast of Australia. Now, after being raised in Oregon, the state in the United States, she moves to Vanuatu as a young woman to live as a missionary and has spent the majority of her adult life there. Now, I mean, if you're going to live as a missionary, there are definitely worse places to do it. Vanuatu is beautiful. You're joining us today in the second week of our series called Every Day, Everywhere. And in this series, we are challenging ourselves to live as missionaries. Every day we live, everywhere we go. And we're defining the word missionary as a person making disciples in their everyday community. Now, in this series, we're encouraging ourselves with these words of Jesus to his disciples. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And again, in Jesus' final moments on earth, he also says something similar to his disciples. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, these words have been come to known as the Great Commission. I like to think of it as the Great Co-mission. When we say yes to following Jesus, we're also saying yes to joining him and being in co-mission with him to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. Now, as a result of this calling, Christ followers throughout history have tried various ways to spread the good news of Jesus. It began with Paul. We looked at Paul's story in the last week of this message. If you missed that, go check out week one. We talked about Paul, who spends his whole life carrying the message of Jesus all along the Mediterranean coast. And then from there, Christianity continues to spread throughout the world, sometimes by political power and effort, and other times by missionaries coming to new countries and sharing the message of Jesus. But what's interesting is because the great co-mission, making disciples, was put in the hands of fallible, selfish, and sinful humans, there have been times throughout history that this missionary work has gone, well, a little bit wrong. Sometimes in our zeal, humans have forced the way of Jesus onto other people in a forceful way. Instead of inviting others to know and follow Jesus, they took up a cause of force and even brutality. Spanning most of the Middle Ages, a series of military expeditions called the Crusades was launched from Christians in Europe against people in the Near East. Their primary objective during this time was to reclaim for Christianity the Holy Land in the Middle East and to recapture those territories that had formerly been Christian. So carrying the cross of Jesus, the Crusades were often about power and land conquest, and this did not always translate into spiritual transformation of the people and a love for Jesus amongst the people. Now, I imagine for some of those being conquered, Christianity felt like military might and oppression, instead of love and good news and spiritual transformation. And as a result, we live with some historical pain that people might feel as a result of a good mission gone wrong. I encountered a picture of this historical pain in the story of a tour guide in Linz, Austria. My husband and I recently visited this beautiful country. And our guide was a man in his mid-60s, And he told the story of his country through the lens of his own personal experience. Now, if you've ever traveled to Europe, you were likely inspired by the massive Catholic church buildings. So many buildings, so many churches on such a grand scale. They are the center of most European communities. Beautiful buildings whose architecture and stained glass and statues tell the story of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, our guide in Austria had a resentment towards these structures. The beauty did not necessarily inspire him. Instead, it irritated him. And although he could appreciate the grand architectural accomplishment, and he could appreciate the beauty, these buildings represented for him a type of religious oppression. As a citizen of Austria, his family was forced to pay taxes to the Catholic Church and generally pressured to practice Catholicism. Now, he said the first thing that he did when he turned 19 years old was go to the government office and declare himself a non-Catholic, which actually caused some social trouble and awkwardness for his family. He resents that even still today, a portion of his taxes go to the Catholic Church. Now, one of the ways that Christianity has spread throughout the world was political. Saint Stephen, the first king of Hungary, integrated the country of Hungary into the European Christian nations. So the country gained protection and power by declaring that they would be Christian. And while in power, Saint Stephen encouraged the spread of Christianity by handing out severe punishment to those who ignored Christian customs. So in some ways, Christianity was spread because those with military might and political power forced this upon the people. Did people come to sincere faith in Jesus in each of these countries throughout history? Yes, for sure. But there are many who rebelled against the religious requirement. So if we're going to live as missionaries, it's important for you and me to acknowledge and understand that we live with the historical pain that some people might feel as a result of good mission gone wrong. And it's not just ancient history and in other parts of the world. Right here in our country, in our own life history, broken human beings desiring to live out the Great Commission have done this at times in distorted, awkward, and sometimes even dangerous ways. What about this? Random people you do not know, standing on the street corners with signs about hell and making sure people are aware that God hates them. Gospel tracts. Handing someone you do not know a fake bill that looks like real money with a message about Jesus on the back. And worse yet, leaving this as a tip at the restaurant and not leaving an actual tip. Christians have done some pretty hurtful things in the name of the Great Commission. And it's heavy and it's sad. But then there's this. Mother Teresa, born in 1910 in North Macedonia, and at the age of 12, she felt the strong call of God. And she knew she had to be a missionary to spread the love of Christ. And by 1948, she devoted herself to working among the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. And she eventually began her own order of nuns called the Missionaries of Charity, whose primary work was to love and care for the people that nobody else looked after. And by the 1990s, there were over 1 million missionaries caring for the poorest of the poor in more than 40 countries. While some people have tried to accomplish the Great Commission through power and might, Mother Teresa accomplished through living with and caring for the poorest of the poor. And then there's this. In the 1950s, Elizabeth and Jim Elliot served as missionaries. Jim was speared to death while attempting to reach a tribe in the jungles of Ecuador. And after the loss of her husband, Elizabeth Elliot, with her 10-month-old daughter, remained in Ecuador and continued to work and reach the very people that had killed her husband. And her demonstration of the forgiving power of Christ brought some of the tribe to faith in Jesus. So we see throughout history both difficult and inspiring stories of Christians living as missionaries. So where does this leave us? My hope is that this walk through history, those of us who are followers of Jesus, it leaves us even more prepared. Prepared to face and then push through our own fears and apprehensions about our calling as missionaries. Now, my guess, after talking to so many Christ followers over the years, is that in this room, those of you that are watching, wherever you are, there are a variety of reasons why we, at the very least, fear and at the very most reject our missionary calling. And here's what I suspect are the top three reasons we might do that. First, we feel like living as a missionary, historically, like the Crusades or even currently the Christian tracts and people holding signs, it just feels ick. We do not want to be in the category of people who share Jesus with others in a weird and maybe even wrong ways. Ways that feel self-serving, ways that feel like we're being right or trying to win or trying to look good, and other icky motives. That just feels off, and we don't want to be a part of it. Or second, we think living as a missionary feels wrong. We think it's wrong for us to impose our ideas on someone else, or to make others think like we think. Some of us are more of a, hey, you do you, I'll do me kind of people, and our faith is a private matter that we don't feel we need to share with anyone. Or third, we expect that living as a missionary will feel isolating. That if people know that we follow Jesus, that and we want them to follow Jesus too, that they will not want to be our friend. They will think we have an agenda for them, and it's game over for us socially, at the office, at school, or in our neighborhood. All of those thoughts, they're fair. I sometimes have them too. So how do we move forward to fulfill our missionary calling that Jesus has for all of his followers? Well, the first thing I think we do is we understand our calling. In one of Paul's letters to the Corinthian church, and remember, Paul was the first ever missionary, and he writes letters back to the churches that he helped start. And in one of those letters, he's addressing how some people are arguing about who they follow. Some say they follow Paul, and some say they follow Apollos. And to address the argument, Paul says this: what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom we came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. See, we can't make anyone follow Jesus. We're mere humans. That is not really our job as missionaries. It's not. It's not our job to make anyone think or do anything. It's our job to plant and water seeds of our own story. We share the truth of our own experience with Jesus, what an encounter with Jesus has done for us. We don't convince or coerce, we just share our story. And we'll talk about that in way more detail in week 4 of this series, so stay tuned and keep watching. So, We can take ourselves off the hook. We are not telling people what to think or believe. We are sharing our experience with Jesus. And people are way more interested in what is real for you than you trying to be right about something. Second, we right-size our expectations. Not everyone who we are in community with is going to come to faith in Jesus. Jesus describes this in a story he told. He says this, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then the sun came up, and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell along the good soil, and it came up and it grew to produce a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." So in our lifetime, maybe a few, maybe dozens, or maybe hundreds will follow Jesus because of your influence. But it won't be everyone. But those who do will also produce a crop of 30, 60, or 100 times. So don't worry about outcomes. Instead, plant the seeds of your story. And third, we make love our motive. See, historically, it feels like when the motives were selfish, the missionary work was without love. When the motives were to gain back land or pursue power, to personally look good or to be seen as right, that is when the missionary work got off course and people felt hurt and coerced instead of loved. But when we follow Jesus and live out our calling as missionaries, it is never about us seeking popularity, greatness, or success. Instead, we live our missionary lifestyle in the way of Mother Teresa and Elizabeth Elliot. Our love is so great for those we are called to that we're compelled to pray for, listen to, serve, and live alongside, forgive, and show up, that some may see our listening service, joyful living, and forgiveness, and they will feel the very heart of Christ. This is your homework this week, okay? What negative feelings do you have about living as a missionary? What are your fears? I would encourage you to write those down. Journal about those things. And then share it with a friend. Here's my fears. Here's what I'm afraid of. Here's my negative feelings. And pray and share those things with Jesus. We're each going to do that homework this week. And as we work through that, we're preparing ourselves for living a life of mission. Let's pray.